Well, good evening to those who are in the building and those who are watching online. It's good to be able to come together and to worship God. And if there are those who are watching perhaps for the first time or specifically to hear Neil Cameron's testimony, I'm looking around for Neil Cameron, hoping that he's here. That's good to see. If you're tuning in to hear Neil Cameron's testimony, especially whether it's live or afterwards, it's good to know that you're able to join with us. We're going to begin this time of worship by singing to God's praise, or Farrakhar will sing to God's praise, and we'll listen and hopefully be moved within our own hearts. Psalm 149 and verses 1 to verse 4. Psalm 149, verses 1 to 4. Praise ye the Lord, and to him sing a new song, and his praise in the assembly of his saints, in sweet psalms do ye raise. Down to the end of verse 4. For God doth pleasure take in those that his own people are, and he with his salvation the meek will beautify.
Praise ye the Lord, and to him sing a new song and his praise in the assembly of his saints, in sweet psalms do
Let's unite their hearts in prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for these psalms that you've given us that express the prayers of our hearts and express the praise that sometimes we find it difficult to find the words for. We thank you, Lord, that you're the God who seeks us, that you're the God who saves us. Our minds go to Psalm 40. I waited for the Lord my God, and patiently did bear length to me. He did incline my voice and cry to hear. He took me from the fearful pit and from the miry clay. And on a rock he set my feet, establishing my way. He put a new song in my mouth. And we thank you, Lord, for the new song of salvation that you put in the mouths and in the hearts of your people. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are not able to save ourselves, not by our works, not by anything of our own merits, We are not able to buy our way into heaven. We're not able to earn our way into heaven. We cannot plead our own name or our own background as some means of negotiation with the one true God. We know, Lord, that our sin is a barrier. But we thank you that Jesus, your Son, is our Saviour. And we thank you, Lord, that he is the one who died. He is the solid rock of Psalm 40, the firm place where we can stand. He is the one who puts the new song in our mouths. And we pray that you would enable us to know the joy of that in our hearts and enable us, as we're given opportunity, to sing that with our voices. We thank you that we're able to hear your praise sung this evening. We look forward to days ahead where we're able to unite our voices in praise. And we pray that when that day comes, we would truly sing with joy, with volume, from our hearts in spirit and in truth. For you are the God who is worthy of all our praise. You are our Maker. You are our Sustainer. And you, Lord, are our Saviour. And we bow before you in worship this evening. We thank you, Lord, for the freedom that we have to worship. We thank you that for the freedom that we have to share testimony as well with each other of the fact that we are your people. We can think of people in countries around the world, of China and Pakistan and India and North Korea. So many countries where it's not possible to say out loud that we belong to the Lord Jesus without fear of persecution or losing one's life. And we remember those who are under these pressures. We thank you for the courage that you give to them. We thank you for the encouragement and the example that they are to us when we hear the accounts of their firm and bright witness. But we thank you, Lord, that in this country at this time we're still able to bear testimony and say that I'm not ashamed to own my Lord or to defend his cause. And we pray for Neil, especially tonight. We thank you, Lord, for him. We thank you for the new song that you have put in his mouth. We thank you for the salvation that he is able to speak of. We thank you for the joy of the Lord that we see in his life. And we pray that you would give him the words to say as he speaks this evening about your work in his life, when it began and how it has continued through the years. You're the God who is faithful, and we pray that we may see that and know that, each of us at this time. So bless Neil and help him, we pray, as he seeks to speak to us this evening, and as he seeks to praise you in sharing this testimony. We pray for anyone who may be here tonight or who's listening in who doesn't yet have a testimony, who's not able yet to say that the Lord Jesus is their Saviour and their Lord. We pray for any tonight who may not yet have an awareness of the reality of sin and the danger that we are in until we find Christ as Saviour. We know that every testimony is different, and we know that most of our testimonies are more gradual than they are dramatic. We may not have a dramatic story to tell, and yet we know that every life that is turned around, every sinner that is saved, is a miracle, because we are dead in transgressions and sin. And it's a work of the resurrecting power of the Holy Spirit when our ears are opened and our eyes are opened and our hearts are brought to life in Christ. So we pray for any who don't yet know that at this point. And we ask that you would be moving in the power of the Holy Spirit, even this evening. Pray for others who may know Jesus, who may have known Christ for a long time and walked on the road for a long time, but who are not yet standing up and saying that he is their Lord. Pray for any who may be secret believers, and we ask that you would give them the courage to step forward and become witnesses for Christ. We think of the prospect of gathering together for communion in weeks to come, and we ask that if there be any whom you are calling to come to the Lord's table for the first time, that you would make that clear to them and that you would give them the courage to step forward and to do this in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. We ask that you would be with those in particular need once more, Lord. We are aware very aware of those who are grieving, and we commit them to you. We think of Shona, and we think of Kirsty with us tonight, and the McKellar family, and we pray that you would comfort those who grieve. We thank you that your promise, Lord, is that you will never leave us nor forsake us. We thank you that you are the God of all compassion. You are the God of all comfort. And we pray that those who grieve may know that comfort and that hope in their experience at this time. And we thank you, Lord, for when we think of those who have passed from time to eternity, we thank you that when they are in Christ, we are not left wondering what has happened to them. But we thank you that we are promised that they are with you and that they join in that great assembly in heaven, singing praises to God. So enable us, Lord, as we praise, to have that in our minds, that we are praising the eternal God with the hosts of heaven. So hear our prayers, take away our sin, and guide us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you could open your Bibles, please, just for a few minutes, at Psalm 149. Psalm 149, just a few thoughts on this short psalm. This is God's word. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise his name with dancing, and make music to him with tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in his people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honour, and sing for joy in their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths, and a double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations, and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters, their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all the saints, his saints. Praise the Lord. Amen. And may God bless that reading of his word to us. We're looking forward to hearing Neil share testimony with us in about 10 minutes' time. And I wondered what to read before Neil would share testimony. And so I decided to read the next psalm that we were due to come to, Psalm 149. And as I read the psalm, I realized quite quickly that it's a psalm that gives a very fitting introduction to a testimony evening. Now, I phoned Neil on Wednesday morning, I think it was, Neil. That's when I ruined this week. And I asked him if he'd be willing to share his testimony this evening. And initially he was a little hesitant, as I think almost any of us would be. I mean, it's not an easy thing to stand up and to speak before a congregation, even a congregation as nice as yourselves. It's a nerve-wracking thing to stand here and to speak, especially when you can only see one small proportion of the congregation. There's another part behind the camera that we can't see. And so Neil, he had some reservations about sharing testimony, but he agreed to do it. And the question is, why? Why would you put yourself in a position where you're uncomfortable, where you're feeling nervous for a few days, when you have the opportunity to say, actually, no, I'm not going to bother? And the reason that he agreed to do it, I know, is because he wants to take this opportunity to praise the Lord. Not to praise himself, not to speak of himself, but to praise the Lord. And we can see from this psalm that it's full of encouragement to God's people to praise the Lord. It begins and it ends with these words, praise the Lord. And so before I hand over to Neil, I want to ask just two simple questions tonight. And the first question is, how do we praise the Lord? And the second question is, why do we praise the Lord? So first of all, how do we praise the Lord? Because it's a phrase, even if we're not thinking about being in church, this is a phrase that we'll hear in common speak in all kinds of contexts. People will say, praise the Lord. Think about wee Gordon Thompson from the Faith Mission. You can't be 5 minutes in his company without hearing him saying, praise the Lord. But how do we praise the Lord? Well, if we have this psalm open before us, we can ask the question, how did they back then in Psalm 149 days, how did they praise the Lord? And you can see just stepping through the verses there that they praised the Lord with singing, verse 1. In the assembly of the saints in church, they praised the Lord. They praised the Lord with a freshness, not a staleness. But there was a freshness. There was that new song of salvation in their mouths. They praised the Lord, verse 2, with gladness and with joy, recognizing that God was their maker and their king. Amazing thing to think that the God who is behind everything that we see in the beauty of creation here, we can know him. We can speak to him. He listens to us. He's our maker. And so they praise the Lord with gladness and joy, recognizing that he's their maker and their king. Verse 3, they praise the Lord with dancing and music. So how do we praise the Lord? Well, we have teaching here in the psalm. As we apply this to ourselves about how we are to praise the Lord, we should praise the Lord, verse 1, as part of a gathering of God's people in the assembly of the saints. We should make it a priority to be in church. I think actually we should also make it a priority to be with the Lord's people in our houses. I think I'm right in saying that from tomorrow we're able to meet in each other's houses in small numbers. Well, we should do that. We've been so long out of each other's houses that we should make it a priority to actually get together with other believers to encourage each other. We should sing praises to God, verse 1, as Farrakhan did, and hopefully we'll all be able to unite our voices in due course to be able to praise the Lord with song again soon. There should be, verse 2, joy and gladness in our praise. We shouldn't be checking our shoes all the time, looking up here and looking up there and thinking about this and thinking about that. We should be joyful and glad as we think about who our God is and what he's done for us. We should, verse 3, make music, as we heard, or we will hear, we never heard yet. But we should make music, not just with our mouths, but with the stringed instrument, as we find so often in the Psalms, to glorify God. And some of you are stepping through the verses just now with half a smile on, thinking, what's he going to do with the next one? What about dancing? What about the tambourine? Well, I think in some churches they probably comes quite naturally to them. I've been in some church contexts, not in this country, where that's something that seems to come very naturally to them. Probably not so much here. Maybe the Scottish equivalent of dancing and the tambourine would be gentle swaying and the odd foot tap. I'm not sure. Some of the commentators are at great pains to point out this was a great victory day for Israel when they sang this song. These were special celebrations. Dancing shoes and tambourines didn't normally come into the temple or the tabernacle. So this isn't prescriptive, say some commentators. We don't have to do that. And that may come as a relief to some. I don't think my dancing skills would be any great expression of praise to God. Then if we move to verse 5, still asking, how do we praise the Lord? We learn more about how they praised the Lord. Verse 5 says that they praised the Lord on their beds, which means in the security and the privacy of their own homes. They praised God there. They had the books, as I used to hear when I was a wee boy. All the homes, whether they were Christian homes or not, used to have the books before bed. And God's word would be read, and there would be a time of prayer and a time of praise. And I think, again, we've got a teaching point here. Probably hits us today in our culture. We should praise the Lord in our homes. Do we have family worship? Well, we should. We should come together behind closed doors as families, on our beds, on our couches, around dinner tables, to open God's word and to worship Him. That's how we praise the Lord. And then from verses 6 to verse 9, the psalm takes a kind of strange turn, we might think. Because it's almost war language in that section. We read about double-edged swords and going out with a double-edged sword. And there's warnings here about God's judgment. And that too seems to be something to do with how we praise the Lord. So what does that mean for us? Do we go out with swords, trying to aggressively persuade people to believe? Do we go out in force to make war with unbelievers? Well, no, we know better than to do that. The sword represents God's word. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is active, is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. So part of our praise of God is for us to go out that door. Not just come in this place, but to go out the door with God's word, because God's word is not so much heard today in the public place. So if people are to hear it, we're to take it, if we're believers. We're to tell people about God's word. We're to share God's word. We're to tell people about the danger that they're in if they do not turn to God. Tell them about the bad news of God's judgment for those who do not believe. We need to have the courage and the love to do that. But we also need to tell them the good news about who God is and what He's done for us, because people don't know. And that takes us to the second question and the epicenter of this psalm. We've thought about how we praise the Lord very briefly. So why do we praise the Lord? That's the second question. And we have the answer in verse 4. It says, for the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with salvation. And that's the good news. There's two reasons that we're given there that answer the question, why do we praise the Lord? Reason one, He delights in us. Can we grasp that? The God of heaven and earth, He takes delight in His people. Not only did He make us, but He loves us. He desires that none would perish. That's what it says in 2 Peter 3:9. He delights to see His people saved. Sometimes we forget this. Sometimes we might even question this when our mood is low, when things are not going well. We start to wonder, is he with us, or is he somewhere far away? Sometimes we don't feel like he loves us. Sometimes we don't feel like he delights in us. But we have the promise here. He does delight in us. And if you want the evidence of that delight, then we have that in the second thing. Why do we praise the Lord? Firstly, because he delights in us. And secondly, finally, because he delivers us. Not only does he delight in us, but he delivers us from the sin that was destroying us. He crowns the humble with salvation. We know God loves us because he gave his one and only Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. We know God delights in us because of Jesus. Jesus came to this world. God the Son went to a cross to take the judgment for sin that I deserved and you deserved, so that we could be delivered from sin, so that we could be snatched from the enemy, so that we could avoid hell and have a place secured for us in heaven. Jesus came to this world. He felt the sword of God's wrath strike him on the cross. And he felt that, he experienced that, he took that, so that we could be offered terms of eternal peace, so that we could receive the crown of salvation. And how do we receive that crown? Do we earn it through our good works? No. Do we earn it through our good religion? No. So how do we receive this salvation? Well, we just bow in humility before Jesus, confessing our sin, believing in him, and we are promised that we will not perish, but we will be saved. We will be delivered through the grace of the God who delights in his people. And when we think about that, surely our response is to praise him. Why do we praise him? He delights in us. How do we know he delights in us? Because he delivered us in Christ. We're going to hear the praise that's been chosen by Neil Sung just now by Farrakhan. It's a song from the Songs of Victory. We don't have it in our hymn book, but it's entitled Abundant Salvation Through Jesus I Know. And after we've had this, heard this hymn sung, I'll ask Neil to come up and to share testimony, please.
Abundant salvation through Jesus I know. Rich streams of refreshing from Calvary flow. Believing his word with rejoicing I see. The fountain of blessing is flowing for me. Alive evermore, his a Savior indeed. His fullness surpassing my uttermost need. His bounty is royal, exceeding my plea. The fountain of blessing is flowing for me. Their strength in temptation, the victory to gain. Their sunshine in darkness, and comfort in pain. This plenteous redemption in Jesus is free. The fountain of blessing is flowing for me. The brightening waves of the river of peace, and joy fresh and sparkling, find happy increase. All honor and glory, dear Savior, to Thee. The fountain of blessing is flowing for me.
What a relief. Well, good evening to you all, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to share that word of testimony. At one time in my life, I didn't have a testimony, of Jesus and his goodness to us. But before I start, I am going to wish our dear minister a happy birthday. And we thank God for him and for his preaching, and we wish you and your family God's richest blessing. My memory fails me at times, so I do write things down, but I think I should be really a doctor, because I can hardly read my own writing. So I'm very conscious of that camera, and but there is another camera on us as well, the camera of God in heaven. And his radar, and it's on us from the time of birth to death. And so, with that, I think that I hope that my testimony will be that it would be a help to anyone who is listening, that God would be glorified above everything else. I was born and brought up in Clwyd. We're five of a family, three boys, two girls, two of us are still living, Morag in Scadaby, and myself. Now, when I was just 7 years old, my father died. And the best memory I have of him is taking me as a wee boy by the hand over to the byre and making me go on my knees beside him, and he's praying with me and praying for me. Now, I can't remember the prayers, but I'm thankful that to have godly parents, it's a wonderful upbringing. And when we were growing up, everybody went to church except the ones that were not reaching school age. I think nowadays it's more different, and especially what a joy it was for us this morning here to see Iona, Andrew, and Joseph John in here, introduced to the church at that very early age. And to see Finlay John going to the Sunday school. And I think it's just amazing, and it's great to have them coming to the house of God at that early age. And I need to put on my binoculars. So we used to go to church, and of course I might have told you my name is Neil Cameron McKinnon, and some people have been asking me why are you Neil Cameron and the rest of your family is McKinnon. Well, that's my middle name. And I was called after a minister in the Free Presbyterian Church. But unfortunately, I'm not like a minister, but I thank God for his goodness. And as we grew up and then left school and everything else, and then I got married, Kate, like my dear wife who's over there, and we had a family of two, son and a daughter, Rachel and her family over in Ireland, and Murdo, Taff, and some of them here with us, Alec and so on. And we've got the grandchildren. And we thank God for them all. And if God spares us, and if it's his will, we will be married 59 years in July. And I thank God daily for it and for his goodness to me over the years. I think if there was an honour in the Queen's honours for tolerance, I would put her name forward. There's nothing great, it's wonderful to have a good mother and a good wife and a godly wife. Now, as my testimony goes, I don't have a Damascus Road testimony like some others have, but I had a gradual desire for the Lord and for the things of the Lord, and to be good God peoples, and attending Sunday morning and evening services and weekly prayer meeting. But there was one occasion, I don't know if any of you have an idol that had an idol. I had a dog, a very, very good dog. He was excellent, and he was just my idol. And this Keith's uncle was at home, and he was a shepherd in Fort Augustus. And I decided I wouldn't go to the prayer meeting, because I would like to show him my sheepdog working. And that was on Wednesday evening. We had a funk on Friday. And on Friday morning at 10 o'clock, McKeever and Darth Van killed my dog on the top of the road. And the word of the Lord spoke to me clearly. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Now, put years at be like a minister. And that was me in an unconverted state. God was speaking. And as time went on, and communions were coming round, I always had a desire to go forward. But of course, the enemy always kept me back, telling me I was not ready. And there was so many things in my life I would have to put right first. And I'm sure he was telling that that was a bit of the truth. But he doesn't have the truth. But But after the morning service, I didn't go forward. And on the way home, just on the Groseby Road, the word of the Lord spoke to me clearly. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all that these things shall be added unto you. And fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So I went forward that evening to the session, and I was met by our dear brother and friend Angus Halleck, who took me into the session. And what a welcome I got. And what they said to me, we've been expecting you for years. And John Morrison in Morrig, young old Alistair, he said to me, well, you made it at last. You shouldn't have been called Neil Cameron, you should have been called Neil Canathier. And that means Neil Stubborn. That was, if I've got the right Gaelic, have I? So, but the only regret that I have is that I did not do it earlier. And it's not the hold and the grip we have of Christ, but the grip that Christ has on us. We let him down so often, but he never lets us down. So you see, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for our sins, and he died with his hands east-west and his head north-south, taking the whole world in. But he died, but he rose again. And he is sitting at the right hand of God in heaven, making intercession for us. And now that the work of salvation was complete, we can say, as was in Psalm 22, he has done it. So it's my prayer and desire that you will that you'll come to know him, because this depends on your eternity, depends on the decision you made to accept Jesus as your Savior. And the other thing is that I would like to say is that we be sure that we pray for our minister and for our congregations. We live in difficult times, and we thank God, as I mentioned already, we thank God for him, and we should pray for our minister in our morning and evening worship. And we should, even in our listening in the church here, we should even feel him. There was a a lady years ago, and her hearing was getting a wee bit dull. So the minister said to her, "Come down to the front, nearer the pulpit, so that you can hear me." And halfway through the service, he said, "Ladi, will you come and join?" "Yes," she said, "I am hearing you and I am feeling you." So we are very fortunate, really, that we have a very godly Christian minister, and we thank God for him. I've got something here that I would like to show you. Can anybody tell me what this is? Anybody?
John Roddy.
What is it, John Roddy?
Sticker.
Pardon?
Sticker.
It's a sticker. And what's written on it? See what it was? K-Stack was doing a bit of spring cleaning the other day, and she came across this. Well, I'm still here too. But she came across this, and I thought it would be clever, ideal to take it with us. Do you know what it says? No? Well, Gordon's putting on the glasses.
Jesus. Jesus, let her in.
Yes, that is. Jesus, let him in. That is the most important thing that we can do. Open our hearts to him, and it is my desire that nobody here, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you would not leave here without making your calling and election sure. And when D.L. Moody was preaching in Chicago, he was preaching on the, what was it again, that what will you do with the Jesus that is called Christ? That was his text. And he said to them, "I'll give you a week to come back and give me the answer." Well, that very night there was a fire in Chicago, and 300 people were burned to death. And when he came back the next Sunday, he said, "I gave some of my congregation a week last Sunday, and I was wrong. And there's some of them are in eternity now." So this is, don't leave it till tomorrow, because tomorrow might not be. And there is a wee story told about, if you hear God knocking, open to him, because it will be quite loud at times, but if you leave it, it'll be getting weaker and weaker. There was a story told of a young man who was a bright Christian, but God was calling him, and he was putting it off and putting it off. And then he went into business. Excuse me. And into a milling business. And the business prospered. And he got another mill. And the minister was calling to see him and asking him how he was how he was doing, and was he still hearing God knocking and calling. And this day he came back and he said, "Are you still hearing God? Have you answered God's knock? Are you still hearing him?" "Minister," he said, "I don't hear him now because of the noise of the machinery." And it's something that we should never be distracted by the things and the noise of this world. While God is calling, we should come to him. And the Christian life, it's difficult at times. But God is with us, and he has promised he will never leave us nor forsake us. And that is a wonderful promise. And there will be difficulties in our lives and storms. See, when the disciples were on the Sea of Galilee, and they were in the storm there, and Jesus was sleeping in the stern of the boat, it wasn't the storm or the gale that woke him up. It was the cry of the disciples. And we need to cry to him too. He's waiting for our cries. And we've got to look to him. See, when Peter was walking on the water, and he took his eyes off Christ, he started sinking. And we need to have our eyes on Christ as well. He is our sustainer. And but time is going by. My own experience with Christ, and he has been good to us all the years that I have come to know him and to put my faith in him. I had health problems, and I had 16 years of angina, and I had to go to hospital in Glasgow to the Jubilee, and I had a triple bypass, and I was there for 26 days. Now, years ago, we knew of a retired missionary that was in Stornoway, and he gave us a Bible, and he wrote in that Bible, "This book will speak to you, and it will teach you how to speak." And he said, "I'm going to teach you a wee prayer. You might need it sometime. And the prayer is, remember me, Lord, when I cannot remember you." And that was the prayer I had going into surgery. That was 45 or 48 years before that. And I was in surgery. I was in theater for about 5 hours, but that's history now. But I had problems after that, so I was for 26 days in the hospital. But during that time, even the day I had the operation, Keithak, my wife, and my sister Morag and Suzanne were in the house, and David and Callum came. Now, I don't know which one came first, but the one didn't know the other was coming, but the Lord did. And they were with them, and they were at a wonderful time of prayer there. And David used to phone me every second day while I was in the hospital. And I was so conscious, he was praying over the phone, and I was so conscious of the prayers of God's people. And I never felt lonely while I was there. I was quite happy, but I wasn't sleeping. And I had a problem with that clock. I can still see it there. I thought the spoke would never reach the top. But anyway, one of the nights, and I sometimes get emotional about this, but you'll excuse me, but I did doze off, and I looked at the clock, and it was, I heard Kate, like my wife, pray. And praying for me. And I looked at the clock, and it was 10 to 2 in the morning. And I didn't say much of it to anyone, but I think it's worth mentioning. You know, the power of prayer. And when I went into the hospital there, it was Joshua, chapter 1, verse 9. Have I not commanded thee, be strong and be of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, wheresoever thou goest. And I always had the other Bible readings as well, but I always had Psalm 121 every day. I to the hills will lift mine eyes, from whence does come mine aid. And also, the last two verses of Psalm 59. But of thy power I'll sing aloud at morn thy mercy praise, for thou to me my refuge wast, and tower in troublous days. O God, thou art my strength, I will sing praises unto thee, for God is our defence, a God of mercy unto me. And the God that has been a mercy to me, he would be a mercy to you as well, or to anyone that calls on his name. And I think I've told this before, but I think it's worth mentioning again. I'm sure you've all heard of this man, Jamie, that used to go up to the church every day at 11 o'clock, and he would stand in front of the pulpit and say, Jesus, this is Jamie. And then Jamie had an accident, and he was taken to hospital. And visiting hours would come and go, but nobody was coming to see Jamie. And one of the nurses said to him this day, Jamie, you don't have any friends. Are you not feeling lonely? Nobody's coming to see you. And he said, Nurse, no. I am not lonely. A man comes and stands at my bed end every morning at 11 o'clock and says, Jamie, this is Jesus. So we pray then that God will bless us, and the hymn that we sang there, Abundant Salvation, this is one of the hymns that we used to have in our fellowships years ago. And I remember going into a house in Upper Shadder one night, and Jesse Jane was singing this hymn, Abundant Salvation. And it always had it made an impression on me. And that's why when David asked me on Friday and Wednesday if there was any hymn I would like her, so I did phone back. And God is good, and when, and I'm not going to boast about this, but I thank God for his grace. And on Thursday, before I left the hospital, Jack Butler, he was the surgeon that performed my operation, and he came round and he said, you've been here for a long time. It's coming on to 4 weeks. And he says, we'll have to try and get you home by Monday. But he said, you've been one of the most patient patients I've ever operated on. And I thank God for that. Not for off me, but I praise God for it. And hitherto, the Lord has helped us, and he will. And you know, there's so many other things that I could mention, but there was this might be funny, but if our sins are forgiven, I would think. So I don't know if you see that in the God Channel Times, Angus Buchan, and he said, "Well, if our sins are forgiven, we're fine. God has a poor memory at times, hasn't he? He forgets our sins. They're in the ocean of his forgetfulness." So the years ago, I'm going to mention this before I close. Years ago, there was a man down in Lamberway, and he was a professing Christian for years. But he had backslidden, and he went off the narrow road completely. And this day they were going to cut seaweed. And he turned back and he said to his wife, "I forgot to tell you that I had the dream I had this morning. I dreamt we were going into a foreign land. And we were at a queue, and everybody had to show his passport. And he said, when I looked at my passport, it looked terrible. It was tattered and ugly, and when my turn came, the man looked at it, and he looked at me, and he said, well, your passport is tattered and in poor shape, but he said, the king's head is on it, and your name is on it, and your stamp is on it, and I can't keep you out. I'm going to let you in. You know what happened? 3 of them were drowned. They never came back. So I think that with that, I will have to close. Time is going by, but I hope that before you, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, whether you're in here or listening on the Zoom, that you would not go to bed until you make your peace with Christ, and that God is still knocking, and that you will answer his call. And as Billy Graham used to say, may the Lord bless you real good. Thank you.
Thank you, Neil, for sharing these words of testimony. We'll pray for a moment. Our Heavenly Father, once more we thank you for your goodness, for your grace, your grace that saves, your grace that keeps us. And we thank you for the evidence of that in the words that Neil has shared and in the life that he lives. We thank you for the testimony that he has spoken this evening. And we thank you for the testimony of his warmth, of his smile, along with Angus Alec there at the door week by week. We thank you for the encouragement that these men of God bring to us, and so many of your people that you place around us bring. We thank you for evidences of your grace in the smiles and the words and the kindness of your people. And we pray that you would bless Neil as he's shared these words of testimony, that he would know your hand upon him for good. Hitherto the Lord has been good to him, and you are the God who is good to all of your children as we trust you. So help us, Lord, we pray, to keep on trusting. Help us, we pray, to know, as we so often sing in that hymn, that it's the happiness of walking with Jesus. Trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus. We pray that we would know that happiness, that joy that comes from a close walk with God. So bless Neil, we pray, and Katak and the family, and continue, Lord, to minister through them. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to hear sung now three verses of the second hymn that Neil has chosen to conclude the service. Little is much when God is in it. Stand for the benediction. And I may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God the Father and the fellowship, the comfort of God the Holy Spirit be with us all, both now and forevermore. Amen.